Hey everybody, welcome to the AV Excel podcast. We could call it audiovisual excellence, but that is a really freaking long URL to type in. I'm Patrick Norton.
Hey, and I'm Robert Herron.
And we are going to talk about home theater and audio and video and Blu-rays and streaming and 4K and gaming and pretty much anything you do with entertainment and maybe even a little home automation because
we're into that.
We're into that. And because my freaking Logitech Harmony remote suddenly has more and more abilities to control more and more things, which makes it more and more compelling, although I really don't have $350 per window for super cool wireless blinds, but I can dream, man.
Yeah.
I can dream.
I think it's also, too, about having a couple of guys here who just love all things home theater and how we can bring that information to more people and to talk about the stuff we love and how to make it better, no matter what your budget is.
I will always treasure seeing Star Wars both the first time and the second time, in a theater with 1,000 other people. But at some point, I realized that watching a Blu-ray on my 100-inch projector, which cost me a whopping $650 refurbished, was a so much more fantastic experience than sitting in a room full of rude, angry, crowded, vicious, breaking up with their girlfriend or their cell phone people.
I'm slowly coming full circle. I have to make myself go back to the theater because there are some experiences there that are worth experiencing. Be it the latest 3D, the latest in 4K projection.
Dolby Atmos.
Sound quality and color and a lot of aspects to it that it's difficult or expensive to recreate that at home. But convenience.
I mean,
convenience is the big one for me.
I'm going to put on my minored in film studies hat for a moment and remind everyone that the true cinema experience, I mean, it's a mass medium, which doesn't just mean like a whole bunch of places simultaneously, but in the case of movies, particularly involves having a room full of people. I mean, everybody who's been to the movies more than a couple times has had that experience where they've been, you know, everybody laughed at the wrong point because the writer or the director did something just profoundly unfortunate, or because, you know, it's Airbenders in the theatrical version, and it's just horrendous. And it's neat sometimes to have 25 people watching Totoro in your living room, or to have 250 people watching Totoro and just all being spellbound by somebody actually transporting the group with a combination of video and audio captured on a camera and microphones. And I'll just stop now because I'll wander off on this pseudo-poetical edge for a while.
You're right, though. They put a lot of effort into making movies, regardless of the quality or what you may think of a particular title. Just the effort in terms of sound production, video production, the framing, the storytelling, and to be able to experience that at home. Everyone should have that base set up.
Yes.
And the fact that you can still go to the theater to experience the social aspect of it, in addition to sometimes just, you know, supersizing the experience in terms of screen sizes and audio quality and things like that. But having both of those balanced, I think everyone should start with a good home theater.
Right.
And then go explore the theater at your local Cineplex or wherever, as you see fit.
it's funny. Like
that should be it should be more common for you to be at home with your setup where you can fully appreciate it on a regular basis. And this applies to more than just movies, too. It could be your favorite sports programming to your favorite TV shows. They put as much work into producing that kind of content as they do what you see in the theater. And it's good to be able to experience that in the best ways possible nowadays.
And it's amazing, you know, neither Robert and I would, you know, if somebody wants to hand us $1 million to build a custom concrete bunker and fill it full of, you know, top of the line audio gear and sumptuous Corinthian leather seats and all that snazzy stuff you see in the occasional like New York Times or LA, you know, magazine article, that would be fantastic. But the reality is if you got a dorm room and $300 or $400, we can make your home theater experience better. Or we can tell you how to move on that so you can start with, you know, the screen and move up to the screen and a pair of stereo speakers and move up to surround sound. Both of us love playing with the new stuff, but we don't always agree or we don't always believe that the latest and greatest is what you want in your living room, because sometimes it's better to let somebody else take the lumps. Like Dolby Atmos, really cool. Dolby Atmos, you can get home versions of it.
But what about like RO3D or DTS:X, or there's more than just one standard now for things like that.
Yeah, or the fact that there's like 8 titles, you know, and there's nothing worse than being the early adopter to get one of those, you know, and when you can be like, well,
you know, this really horrendous movie is one of the 8 titles, and it's the best. Okay, I guess John Wick should be available in Atmos now. So there's a reason for me to want to hear Dolby Atmos in my living room. But
the thing is, there won't be just one standard for that, though. And
yeah.
If you jumped in early with maybe a product that isn't going to be updated any further, you're kind of stuck with something that may not give you the great experience down the road. And like you were talking about with your home setup, even if you're fortunate enough to say to be remodeling a room, there are things you could do right now to be looking down the road where maybe you want to put speaker wire in the walls just to have it there. Maybe you will never do it in terms of actually adding multiple channels and having everything tucked nicely in the walls. But at least that option's there. And if not you, maybe somebody else down the road would like to take advantage of that. And there's just so much you can do that doesn't cost a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But at the same point, if you have the budget, you know, where are your dollars best spent in terms of upgrading what you have?
And suffer once.
Yes.
Or don't suffer at all. Well, I mean, it's kind of funny. So Robert and I have known each other for years. We met working at a place called Tech TV back in the day. Robert worked for me in the lab, and then later on, Robert went on to Ziff Davis, where you basically founded the HDTV testing.
At PC Mag, I ran their test lab for a number of years on the West Coast for all of their testing and reviews. And man, if you want to see a laundry list of, I went on the website the other day for PCMag.com and checked it out, and I'm shocked at how many products I looked at and reviewed and tested. It was hundreds.
Including, so, I mean,
invaluable experience, though.
We unboxed like the first Blu-ray players, the first HD DVD players. We watched that battle fight out, you know, streaming video finally getting 1080, you know, P online.
Watching it mature over the years, too, from the early standard that was completely incomplete and battling with competing formats.
Yeah, Blu-ray was a hot mess when it was. It was funny, like the original 3 Blu-ray titles were horrendous because they grabbed like a couple of distribution prints, and it's like somebody's like, oh, we're selling a $1,000 Blu-ray player. We should probably have a Blu-ray for sale. So they grabbed like what looked like 3 distribution prints and had them, you know, did the whole Telecine thing, had them digitized and, you know, and encoded and put on discs. And, you know, the encoding was beautiful, but the actual source material was a hot mess. But what we're saying is we've loved this stuff for a long time. We used to do a show for a company called Revision 3, later Discovery Digital Networks, called HD Nation. Which is kind of, you know, the nearest relative to AVXL, right? So we're going to call this AVXL, AVXL.com. If you want to support us, patreon.com/AVXL. You know, we want to share our love and our enthusiasm about home theater and really being, you know, I'm going to, you know, put on my cinema hat for a moment, just being transported. It doesn't matter if it's an episode of Phineas and Ferb with your kids or it's, oh my goodness, House of Cards comes out on Friday. You know, the problem with having children is you can't just sit down and watch 13 hours of television in a row and function at any reasonable level afterwards.
You may get arrested for that.
It would be bad. Oh my goodness. But you know, we love, you know, we want viewer questions. We want we'll ask at AVXL or tweet at AVXL or tweet at Patrick Norton or at Robert Herron. We want you to be participants in the show, collaborators, conspirators, if you will. Because what you're interested in is going to help us discover new things, because hopefully there'll be thousands and thousands of you and just 2 of us. Facebook.com/AVXL.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to do this weekly. And Robert had a really good idea to talk about something we got a question regularly about back at HD Nation. Is like, what are you guys running at home?
Without a doubt.
It's kind of funny. I have discovered recently that I am a size queen. with the failure
Explain
of the color
yourself.
Wheel. Okay. So several years ago, you know, when it was finally becoming evident that I could no longer tolerate a 37-inch 720p HD TV, which was a spanking bargain and perfectly reasonable when I bought it, I ended up buying a refurbished Optoma HD 20, HD 180. But that was one of the first $1,000 projectors.
1080p.
1080p projectors. And
single chip DLP.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
And I got
still a good value.
I love it. It's you know, the, you know, would I rather have a digital projector? Absolutely. But I don't have $5,000 to $10,000 for a projector right
That's
now.
Entry level pricing.
Yeah, entry level pricing. Well, it's I should probably pull up the website and see what the current model.
No, but
is.
Going back to your size queen comment, what you had a large living room, a bigger than a dorm room, and the ability to fit a larger size screen
right
in there. And with appropriate viewing distances and things like that. And
well, yeah.
The small screen wasn't cutting it.
Yeah, well, what happened was, right, I'm shopping around and I'm looking like, oh my goodness, it'll be like, $2,000 for a 55-inch television. Obviously, this is like 4 or 5 years ago. So I ended up buying a refurbished...
A Woot sale, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a Woot sale. It was like a Woot sell-off or something. And I got a refurbished 1080p Optoma AC20 projector for $650.
Bargain.
5,000 hours later, I finally replace the bulb on it, right?
Nice.
The bulb just refused to die, which is awesome. Apparently thousands of hours. And a lot of those hours were when there was some misunderstanding between myself and my beloved spouse creature about shutting off the projector. Oh. Well, yeah. So
we should check that. There's a number rating in there. You can actually look it up on the menu to see how long that lamp has been running or how many hours it's been turned on.
There have been a couple times where I discovered like the lamp had been running for several
7,500 hours.
Yeah, that's not good. But the, the blacks aren't as black as I would like. And, if it was brighter, we could leave the windows open. But essentially, like Robert says, first with either with a wall or with a fairly inexpensive screen that Robert found for me on Amazon, for less than $1,000, I had a 110-inch screen that looked gorgeous. And then recently, about like last year, replaced the bulb. And then a few weeks ago, it went black and white.
Which loss meant, of color.
Yeah, loss of color, which meant that the color wheel was gone. Ooh. So I'm sourcing a replacement color wheel. In the meantime, I had a really nice Samsung plasma that I use for testing when we're looking at set-top boxes or trying to get a really close look at a Blu-ray in a more reasonable environment. 55-inch screen. And, there's nothing wrong with a 55-inch screen, except it's literally, one quarter the size of the screen I've been using for the last 5 years.
It's a shocking thing to go down in screen size so dramatically. And that's something else to point out, too. Just a projector gets you a variable screen size.
Yeah.
Fill the wall or whatever space you do have available. And that's another reason a lot of people don't consider it. It's not a popular display option, but damn, there's so much. It's so flexible in terms of its capabilities and the ability to show you details you simply aren't seeing on smaller displays.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons I love projection so much. And the cost, too. Your setup, relatively modest for 1080p.
Right.
You can go 720p and cut that cost even more if you had to. And even great projectors nowadays are in like the $2,000 range.
Yeah.
And a little less. So
it's kind of funny. I've got a really
nice... That's your size queen.
Yeah, that's my size queen comment. So working backwards on the audio side of things, I've got a set of KEF T-Series surround sound speakers with a subwoofer that are absolutely badass. A bottom-of-the-line Denon AVR. Because, for $350, it gave me some of the really cool... basically gave me some of the really cool setup tools I wanted. It's and there's more than enough power to do anything I'm going to do in a 15, 20, like a 300-400 square foot room.
And it has the Odyssey EQ built into it where you can do the room correction and
like
verification
that.
Too. That's important. A lot of people ignore that little mic that comes with an AVR, and it can go a long way toward just detecting a potential problem or help balancing the audio, making things sound really well. They're not perfect, but damn, they're awfully handy.
Yeah, and at the time, it was helping me crap. When I originally bought it, I had this bizarre living room. It was like the foyer, the living room, and the dining room, which was connected to the living room via an arch in this crazy Craftsman house we were renting. So I had this mixture of probably 200 square feet of glass. Maybe not that much. Maybe 80 square feet of glass, two weird side rooms, a sort of coffered ceiling with rounded edges and a big hole right where the screen was. So the EQ system in that, the Odyssey EQ system in that helped me deal with a really bizarre environment for audio. So yeah, I'm a big fan of that. Plus, there's nothing wrong with sitting down with my beloved Radio Shack dB meter and manually doing stuff, but sometimes it's really cool to hit the button and listen to the weird chirping noises and have the machine magically configure itself.
Especially when it does a decent job.
Yeah.
Odyssey is one of those companies that has pretty good technology in terms of getting that right. So
the wiring, the spool of wire I used to put everything together came from Monoprice. It is the appropriate rating of wire according to the code. for my community. And then what else? Logitech Harmony Remote.
Simplification. God, yeah. That's something we'll talk about a lot.
Well, that was a big deal for us because
spouse acceptance thing. That's a lifestyle helper and then a sanity saver.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it's
for everyone, not just an audio or video file, but just the family in general to get usage out of the gear that's there without having to touch it physically and maybe mess with your setup. But
it's funny. At one point, I had like what basically amounted to 5 set-top boxes running into my AVR, running into my screen, and 2 of them were on a separate switch. So now things are relatively tame. It's the Blu-ray player, the Apple TV, the Roku Model 3, which is just absolutely serious thing. But the Roku Series 3 is a fantastic piece of hardware for the money. There's one last port that actually is I'm not using the HDMI port because I'm using a really interesting audio adapter that I'll talk about another time for streaming audio, basically an audio file streaming device to go into those KEF speakers. So that's my setups, you know. It's all about getting as much bang for the buck for as little money as possible. I am finally tempted to finally upgrade my AVR because it would be nice to be able to program the on-screen display and have it, you know, listing something other than TV, cable, you know, DVD.
Fully understand that. I'm fortunate in that.
And it's slow. It takes a little. There's a hang time, you know, switching between HDMI channels, which is just a sign of how impatient I am as a human being. Not that there's anything actually.
There's
wrong.
A good company out there that does port verification for HDMI, and if I ever see a product that has that stamp on it, that almost always guarantees that it's going to be a zippy switcher, mm-hmm. so to speak, and very few problems in terms of, you know, things like handshake issues, right. or other common HDMI issues that we'll talk about down the road, but. And for my own setup, too, a simple AVR I picked up a couple years ago, a Yamaha that mm-hmm. I absolutely love. Yamaha has a great mobile app that is – Yamaha has a great mobile app that I found. It not only it works over your IP connection for a networked AV receiver, and the beauty of it is that you can do things very easily, like one – while I'm laying in bed, I'll turn on the AV setup and have it playing my radio station before I even touch the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, if I want to do things like just simply change up the what things are labeled and whatnot,
right.
or check for a firmware update on it, I can do that all right through the mobile app. And they keep it updated well, and I really do appreciate that. And I'm driving a very budget set of 5.1 Energy Take Energy Classic speakers. That included a subwoofer, and it was just something to have as a baseline reference
mm-hmm.
that didn't cost a lot of money and very easy to upgrade down the road as well, or to swap things in and out. A good set of Pure Oxygen speaker wire that mm-hmm. didn't cost me a lot. Some serious Sewell banana plugs. they're very overbuilt, but damn, I'll have them forever. We'll get into AVRs and connection options too, but banana plugs rule, especially on a backer receiver that can accept them. And other than that, my living room is really set up as a laboratory. It is so outrageous right now at this very moment. I have, I kid you not, 1, 2, 3, there's 4 screens set up,
right?
4K and 1080p screens for various projects I'm finishing up or have finished. I have another 4K screen in storage. I'm probably going to give that one to my brother. And so it is a lot of swapping in and out. So I have things like HDMI amplifiers for distributing video. I use the signal processing and the switching capabilities of my receiver to test functionality.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from return channel audio to, is the digital audio that'll come out of the TV from your connected devices delivering its full quality as well, or what's coming out of the TV and things like that. So it's as much of a workspace, my home theater setup, as it is anything else. And Yamaha has their own room correction technology. It mm-hmm. seems to work pretty well. And it's nice for just a quick fix to just check and verify everything really quickly. And projection-wise, I have a portable 80-inch, 85-inch screen that I'll pull out and use for whenever I'm doing projector testing as well.
Right.
I absolutely it has become the de facto, I must bring this setup with me to a party. That portable screen plus a projector and a Wii game console is just endless fun for everyone. And there's nothing better than playing games on a supersized screen. And if it wasn't a portable setup that I have just so I can get it out of the way easy, mm-hmm. I'd definitely have a fixed screen on the wall just for the ease of installation. And in general, that's really what I have. I'm controlling everything through a Harmony keyboard remote.
Nice.
Universal. That I use a combination of over the air. I used to have a cable TV subscription a year or so ago that I have since gotten rid of. And when I had that, I had a custom Windows Media Center PC mm-hmm. running cable card tuners. I still have the cable card tuners, but no more cable cards. I've gone full over the air and streaming services like Netflix in particular is probably the big one. And I have an Amazon Prime account, so I have their instant video services. And I'm testing using a bunch of devices like a Chromecast or the Fire TV stick and other devices. I have a Roku stick. And I love to check those out as well just to see, compare the functionality of something like that to apps that are built into TVs. And I'm finding myself watching more and more YouTube content.
Yeah.
You pair your smartphone nowadays with an app, be it on the YouTube app on the game console or built into the TV or wherever, and you can use your smartphone as like a queuing remote for those YouTube videos. And that is just, I'm finding to be a fantastic source of entertainment and learning. Heck yeah. And also, I'm fortunate enough to live in a place too where over the air reception of digital TV is very good. Talking 60 plus channels. Of those, I probably watch about 10.
Right.
Maybe. But still, pristine quality HD, recording into a 2 terabyte DVR setup that, has been running nonstop. It just turned 4 years old. So 24/7 operation on my Media Center PC. And that thing is still rock solid, running a very energy efficient CPU and other setup. But,
If you want to have if you want to hear about sort of the ultimate setup to rip all of your Blu-ray collection and have it on tap immediately,
I forgot all about that.
Heron's got that nailed.
Speaking of which, I have a couple of NAS devices that I do store. I have one NAS dedicated for my disk archive, all the movies that I would want to watch regularly. Mm-hmm. I don't rip everything I own. There's some content where it's like, okay, I watched it once, but I'll keep the disk, you know. But likewise, for my favorite stuff, I do have it on a built-in library that I can call up through my Media Center PC, which is super handy.
Yeah.
And the other NAS I have is just for things like music and photo backup and things like that. So my ripped every CD I've ever purchased, and I'm still buying CDs, which shocks me, because I like to simply rip them to a lossless audio format that will play on everything from my AVR actually supports FLAC format mm-hmm. files, and my phone will play FLAC files. Yeah. So I end up just, and storage is like, it's not a big deal anymore.
I gotta show you the HDR. They just did a Kickstarter. This is a company that's been making the digital analog converters, primarily for the outputs from 30-pin. If I had a brain, I'd be a useful human being. 30-pin outputs from Apple devices, but they just did a couple of the Kickstarter will get them for like $60 or $70 digital analog converters that are engineered pretty much to be what they call the bump in the cable between your headphones and your Android phone or your Lightning connector.
Nice.
Like iPhone 6 or the latest tablets. And for the money, as somebody like who at this point, I think I own 8 or 12 DACs. I think I have 8. I'll have to count. It is a fantastic piece of engineering for $60. And I was shocked at how much better my iPhone 6 sounded through their DAC compared to the onboard DAC in the iPhone 6.
Well, that's cool.
We should talk about that at some point. We are going to kind of draw this to a close because if we do get enough support from the audience, and like I said, if you like what we're talking about, do us a favor. Send us an email, ask@avxl.com. And I'll say that without the in the middle. ask@avxl.com. We want your viewer questions. Are you curious about 4K? Are you wondering what the future of streaming is? What are you watching on? What are things that excite you the most? What are you looking for? Are you a cable cutter? Do you love cable? You know, I got to say, Blu-ray releases this week. One of the big things to look for this week, obviously, I mentioned before, House of Cards coming out on 4K Netflix. Yeah, 4K Netflix. Big Hero 6 was fantastic, an unbelievable piece of animation from Disney. Whiplash just came out. not for the kids. That's a story of what can only be described as an abusive relationship between a jazz instructor and a drummer. But the reviews on that are fantastic. Criterion just came out with a new version of Watership Down, which is a 70s favorite. Sons of Anarchy Season 7 just came out on Blu-ray. Interesting mix of stuff. Eat, Drink, Man, Woman, which is from 1994, was a fantastic well movie about relationships.
Very cool. I'm debating which streaming subscriptions I want to re-up for this year. Mm-hmm. I'm almost certain I'm going to have MLB Baseball or Major League Baseball. Their streaming service is going to be great for sports. I'm debating if I want to do my MotoGP subscription again. And I'm also just impressed with how much more sports content's available for mm-hmm. streaming services. Because even I've even discovered, quote unquote, watch ESPN.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Even if you don't have a subscription to a cable or satellite, a paid provider, you don't get the live programming that you would if you had one of those subscriptions, but you get to watch the replays of everything, which mm-hmm. is great. I mean, sure, I'm not watching it live at the moment, but if I'm home late or something, I can just flip that on and catch up on a game that I'm interested in. And for that kind of content, I'm really, really looking forward to it. There's also some of the new content on Amazon Instant Streaming or Instant mm-hmm. Video that I'm looking forward to getting caught up on as well. That's a service that I'm paying for that I don't use nearly enough. So
it's worth checking out. I particularly like it on the Roku. We watch a lot of stuff on Apple TV because
it was the Fire TV stick that I just got a hold of. That mm-hmm. It's like, oh, okay, let's fire this. I was shocked at how cool that is to set up too, by the way. We'll get into that some other time.
But, oh my goodness.
It comes preloaded, ready to go.
Oh. Of course it is, because they want you to buy more stuff.
They really do.
Buy more stuff now. Buy more stuff now.
Click the button.
Oh my goodness. With that bright and cheerful note, click the button. We should probably bring this premiere episode of AVXL to an end. AVXL.com is a website. Do us a favor. We'll have the RSS feeds up there. We'll post them as soon as we can to iTunes. You can listen to them directly off the website. You'll be able to download them. Totally. If you're wondering where the video is, we just can't afford to pay for bandwidth for video yet. And making video is an incredible pain in the ass compared to making audio. So we're going to start this out as a podcast. And if enough of y'all love us and send us some cash, we will turn this into a video program. But we wanted to do our thing as quickly as possible. And this was the easiest way to do it.
That is our semi-fluid plan, people, to bring you the content we love.
Yeah, because we could talk about this stuff all day.
But we really could.
And we have in the past. Anyhow, thank you so much for listening. AVXL.com. Send your questions to ask@AVXL.com or @AVXL or facebook.com/AVXL. I'm Patrick Norton.
Hey, and I'm Robert Herron.
Hopefully we'll see you next week.